Our text for this morning is indeed found in the book of Ephesians. It is chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. It's on page 1020 of your pew Bibles if you like to follow along as it's read this morning. Listen and hear God's word. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Holy Lord, we are grateful again to be together this morning in your house. And as we stop and consider our passage from Paul, we ask your Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter and strife, in 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in the life? You may know those as the refrain or the hook, if you will, from the Broadway musical Rent. These words are how the cast begins the second act of the production as they consider how is time, their time, their lives marked, or how are they valued? How do they conceive of a year in a life? More humorously, perhaps if you've watched the NBC show The Office, you know their version as the cast prepares to say goodbye to Michael, their manager, as they have counted out the number of minutes there were in the millions, as I recall, that he was, and someone in the back is laughing, as he was in charge there. And it's kind of humorous if you've not seen their version. Either way, these words are catchy, they are familiar, and they speak about how time is quantified in the mind of a person. I wonder, with that in mind, how do we mark our time as Christians? How do we fill them? What is valued? Barbara Brown Taylor says it this way: time is one of the most fascinating concepts in our lives. Well, we have made it into an objective fact marked by ticking clocks and turning calendar pages. It can also be quite subjective or even a relative thing. Some things seem to take forever, while others pass in the blink of an eye, time. So how do you think about time? How does time work? I want to think with you this morning a little bit about Paul's words that I read with you from Ephesians, as Paul is specifically talking about worship, making psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which is your act of worship, another translation would say it as. How does that impact us as the church? These verses from Ephesians help remind us as the Church of Jesus Christ to be aware of the ways in which our Christian lives call us to mark and observe time differently from those of our local community or even our neighborhoods. Not only are we different in how we choose to organize our religious or spiritual or theological lives, but that choice feeds into how we are called to be different as we organize our time throughout the day or the week. In this way, this is not unlike the most basic of all instructions that God gave to Moses and the Israelites in the form of the Ten Commandments, which we will hold central in our faith as the church. At that time, humanity was told by God to work for 6 days and to set aside one for rest, the Sabbath. And they did it for generations. And we did it in following of them. We're here because of it. The Israelites taught this practice of Sabbath keeping to their children, and they observed it throughout many generations as a people. But over time, that teaching, that carving out Sabbath time for worship and for God, but that was passed down through history, was only partially lived out. You see, way back in the desert of Sinai, when humanity felt alone, forgotten by God, back when we feared that no one was listening, God came down, made the time, if you will, the mountain, because God was concerned with how you and I shape our days, the rhythm that we operate with. This helped us shape not just the rhythm of our days, but our union with God. When we woke, where would God be? When we went throughout the day, where was God? At night, where was God? God wondered if we might choose to practice our faith differently as we created time each day for the disciplines which help deepen our faith. Ones like you heard from our young people. Prayer, music, silence, worship, scripture reading for us, community building and service. Then in our text from Ephesians 5, with that backdrop of history with God and Moses before us, the apostle reminds the young fledgling church that this form of time management is not only an Old Testament concept or idea. Paul also tells us through his word that this is not just an idea organizational leaders will put forth of time management. The apostle reminds us to participate in worship as part of our regular activities of our lives. Worship of God redeems our time. It orients the person toward the Almighty and keeps our faith in the right relation with the divine. Worship here, and of course, worship here in Paul's words, of course, is not just about an understanding of 1 hour on Sunday morning as being enough for faithful living and working. God did not mean when he gave the Israelites the Sabbath to say 1 hour would be the normal practice of faith. No, living in this way limits how we engage each other and God as we work to be faithful to how God is revealed in the scriptures to us. Worship is about an understanding of time as we seek to fill our lives with an awareness of that which is holy, that which causes awe, that which stays with us, that which changes us because of it. Worship asks us, worship of God asks us to dedicate a set amount of time, to prioritize it, perhaps even regularly, so we might be filled by the Spirit to the point where not just our voices are singing, but our entire hearts take part in that melody. When we live in this way, as Paul is suggesting in our text, we are truly embracing our vocational calling from God to be holy, to be different, and to be grounded in worship. Again, it has direct implications for how we spend our days outside of this room and this space. This idea has implications on how our lives become marked not by seconds or minutes or hours or days or years or cups of coffee, but our lives are marked different and guided by a sense of God's ongoing purpose in the world. We have an invitation to participate in what God is doing. Or as the scripture again says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord your God, giving thanks to God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet knowing all of this, and you know what I'm going to say, knowing all of this and agreeing to the concept and supporting the idea as the church and the community, have you noticed colleagues of yours, friends, family members, neighbors, don't often do it enough? We should. You and I confess it. We convict ourselves of it. And we know that God asks us to make worship and the vocal parts of it, the communal parts of it, part of our daily practices, but many of us choose not to practice our faith in this manner because the ethos of our lives makes this either an impossibility or it is devalued to such a degree that we can't resolve the problem. And I have always wondered, why do I do this? Why does the church in general do this? Why, when Paul offers us such inspired words of Scripture that call us to be the worshiping body, not just on Sunday, but throughout our week, why don't we? Why don't I do it enough? We say things like, well, then that is what I do when I am alone. Or, I don't have enough time for this today to sit here and do this. That's a Sunday thing. Right now, it's a Tuesday thing, and I'm quite busy. There are a host of excuses that are lifted up when it comes to singing and worshiping, as Paul speaks of in our text. As quickly as I could offer those three to you, your list probably had more that you could tack on to mine of why we don't. But I wonder what would happen, what might happen to our faithful lives, to our daily spiritual practices, to our encountering of God and our seeking to be faithful in this community, if we lived as the text suggests. What if we lived in this way consistently as the Church of Jesus Christ? What might be possible for the church who still deals with the Delta variant now of COVID if we filled our time differently, if we lived differently? Ordinarily, I might be tempted right now to offer you a quick, catchy, cliche-y solution to the problem or challenge. Maybe on a different day, that would be appropriate. I could tell you how this passage could call you to live differently, and that would work for a while. Instead, today, I want to just leave that question sit out there with you. I want you to sit with it in your hearts as we sing two more hymns and join in prayer three more times. As the blessing is given at the end of our service, I hope that my question about time and how you could choose to use it and shift it will encounter your daily lives and perhaps call you to encounter God differently moving forward from this place in this time. When Paul writes to the church, he often chooses to be very direct and quite clear. He tells them, this is what you will do, and this is how you will do it. In this passage, he is, to a certain degree. But the personal application of these words is where the challenge lives. How will you mark your days differently? What is God calling you to do, to become? How is God calling you to encounter him? What if we lived in the way the text indicates in this passage as the Church of Jesus Christ? What might be possible for a church who still deals with the Delta variant of COVID and whatever the undiscovered future is going to look like? What might be possible? Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this morning and our time to be your church. And as we stop and we consider you in prayer, as we speak to you in this time, Lord God, continue to mold and shape us. Continue to be the God that we need, the one that we seek, the one who is present in our lives. Help us to take these words from this passage and consider them. Not just right now in our worship context, but as we leave this place, as we greet one another in Christian love on the way out, as we go about Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, bring us back to this text. And as you bring us back to it, mold and shape us because of it to be faithful as you've called each of us to be. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen.